This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. North Carolina has plenty of consumers who want to buy sustainably raised meat. That is grass-fed, pasture-raised, organic beef and pork, that sort of thing. And there are plenty of producers who raise animals that way, but there's a problem in getting the meat to the market. There are only 20 processors in the state who can take a whole animal and convert it for sale at places like farmers markets, restaurants, and grocery stores. Conference this weekend hopes to bring together everyone involved in the North Carolina meat industry to strengthen those precious businesses in the middle. Casey McKissick is coordinator for NC Choices. That's a project of the Center for Environmental Farming Systems. He's going to be at the conference, as will Johnny Rogers, who owns and operates Rogers Cattle Company, which is a small livestock company in Roxboro. Welcome to both of you. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you.
Casey, explain this supply chain problem that we have in North Carolina, I suspect everywhere, but here in North Carolina.
The supply chain for the local and niche meat, I describe sometimes as being kind of rusty with a few broken links and a few broken sprockets. We try to bring grease to that chain and try to help connect everybody throughout that chain. That's from the farmer, like Johnny, all the way through the buyer and even to his consumer. That's probably the essence of the work that NC Choices does. The ability we have to do that is we spend a lot of time in the field with the meat processors on farms. We're probably the best advocate on the farm for the processor and at the processing plant for the farmer. We can do this because we're a partnership. We're part of CEFS, and we're a partnership of the North Carolina State University, NCA&T, and NCDA.
Well, let me ask you, though, what is the problem?
The problem, there's a lot of problems. I guess if I had to boil it down, really, that supply chain, like I said, is rusty, so it's difficult and expensive for a farmer like Johnny to take his hog, you know, from his farm to a product that consumers want. It cost him disproportionately more to do that than in a commodity supply chain does. So what it ends up being is the price is higher at the consumer level, and Johnny's profit margins are probably just barely enough for him to pay the bills.
So what do you have to do? And I know, Johnny, you actually work in both levels. So there's the commodity and the industrial farming sector,
sure,
where you raise animals to go out on the industrial market. And
mm-hmm.
then you also raise for these niche markets, people who want sustainable food. So what's the problem at the sustainable level? I mean, can't you just find somebody to slaughter that animal and process it in the way people want to buy it?
I mean, at our location in Roxboro, we're pretty lucky to have some processors that can process our beef, pork, poultry, turkeys that we have, and our lamb. But it's just a thing of logistics. If you think about it, in the commodity system, you're shipping truckloads of animals in, you're shipping truckloads of meat out. With us, we're hauling two or three beeves to the processor. We're going back to get them. We're handling them. We're storing them at our place. Then we're hauling them to a farmer's market on Saturday mornings or to a restaurant or what have you. So I think at each level, you just start having minor inefficiencies, whereas as the industry grows, there may be a way to address those challenges and to overcome them, but We're in that transition phase, and it's a challenge.
Well, tell us where we are, because it seems to me, Casey, I have the sense there's a huge growth in demand for this kind of food. And that would suggest to me that somebody's figured out an industry, somebody to figure out Johnny's problem. I'm going to take him to and from, and I'll work as a small transporter and to bring you back and forth. I mean, is that part of the problem?
Part of the solution, of course, I think is what we're saying here, is that there are entrepreneurs and businesses who are taking on these roles. And we have fabulous people in meat processing plants and on farms that are trying to link it all together. It's just that it's a pretty new industry. And so it takes a little while to kind of retool and retrain and build that, what I like to call a parallel supply chain that works as efficiently as the larger supply chain. What Johnny's talking about, too, is scale has everything to do with it. And, you know, when you take two or four or five, six animals, they're going to cost more to everybody in the chain than it does when you're taking 100 at a time.
Does this mean making more processing plants and sprinkling them throughout the state? Is that part of what has to be done?
It may mean that. It also means reinvesting in those processing plants that are in existence, you know, retooling and retraining with those, obviously, those plant owners and operators. When they are ready to increase and scale up and go to the next level, then that's one thing we do is we're there for them to help them through those steps and make sure they're making responsible investments that they know are going to pay back.
Is there anything in the processing that's different when you're in the commercial, industrial kind of farming, different from sustainable when it comes to processing?
You know, we are often, you know, very concerned about traceability in a small-scale plant. You know, Johnny wants to know when he sends his beef in that it's his beef when he gets it back. Our processors in North Carolina have stood up for that, and they've put systems in place to make sure that that happens. A lot of the mechanics of it are very similar in that at a very big processing plants, you have more automation, so things can move very quickly. The small plants, you know, this equipment and these things are very, very expensive. So there's only certain things that a plant is willing to invest in, you know. So there again, small scale kind of means it ends up being a little bit more difficult for us sometimes.
I'm trying to get a handle, too, on the market itself. Johnny, how did you get into farming and what kind of farming were you doing when you started?
Basically, my wife and I both grew up on farms, traditional farms, mainly with cattle. Went off to college like everyone did and went to work in the ag industry for a while because agriculture is our passion. And then about 11 years ago, we had a chance to go back into farming. So we found some land to lease. That's a whole nother conversation is about the affordability of land. But we were fortunate to find some great landlords that we could work with. And we were just a traditional cattle farm. And then we started adding some sheep to help control some weeds and utilize our grass better. And then we started marketing our beef and our lamb, you know, off the farm and at farmers markets. And then our customers started asking, well, why don't you do chicken? Well, why don't we do chicken? Okay, well, why don't you do pork? Well, why not? So, and how about some turkeys for Thanksgiving and Christmas? That would be great. So it's been kind of a pull-through thing that we've listened to our customers, and it's really rewarding to, you know, to take your product to market and have your customers come back and say, man, that's the best turkey I've ever had, or we love your ground beef. I mean, that's a lot of fun. So it's been very rewarding. But, again, we're kind of in transition, so we're in the middle of the road. And one of the things, I guess, to address, you know, some of the solutions, we work with Farmhand Foods, which is a company that basically buys live cattle from us, gets them processed, and then they pick up the meat and obviously get it distributed to restaurants and that are interested in buying locally produced beef and pork. So that's been a big help to us, and I think you'll see more and more of that coming along as we continue the progression.
So creating a kind of a broker or a middleman so that the farmer isn't having to chase his cattle all around the state.
Yeah, a farmer that wants to take it from the calf or the piglet all the way to the consumer's mouth has got a really big job in front of them. And when we, you know, it enables Johnny and Sharon to be home farming when they can literally farm some of those duties out and they still get a good return. That's that business model that seems to really be working for a lot of folks.
And you are making the transition from industrial commercial to sustainable? I mean, in other words, you don't want to stay in this middle world. You're actually trying to go full scale.
I think so. We really haven't, I guess, pulled all that together yet. Yeah. We're trying to figure it out and see where we need to go. We think we're in a great area for sustainable because, you know, North Carolina has this, I guess, business climate that's very supportive of local agriculture. So today, we need both. We need to be able to, because we can't market all the cattle we produce right now through the local system at a profit. So we're having to kind of work our way through that. And so right now, we're going to stay where we are. But I think long term, if I had to guess and estimate, I would say we'd be leaning more toward the sustainable, you know, locally produced meats.
Casey, we've been talking about the entrepreneurial side of this at the moment. Is there anything at the policy level that would make things easier and facilitate this transition?
I'm glad you brought that up. One of our partners is the North Carolina Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services. Their Meat and Poultry Inspection Division is very pro-small business and pro-small farm when it comes to taking a look at some of the regulations in these processing businesses, making sure, of course, they're wholesome and safe, but that they also work for small businesses as well and farmers like Johnny. We've got over, just this morning, I checked in with them, 555 farmers who are registered as meat handlers in North Carolina. This is a farmer who's producing meat on their farm and taking it to market, and over 100 folks that are processing poultry on their farm and taking it to market. That's grown from one of those meat handlers in 2002. So in 10 years, we've seen quite a bit of growth.
So, and tell us about the conference that's coming up. I know Temple Grandin's going to be there at the conference. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit more about what's going to happen.
The Carolina Meat Conference is probably one of the best parts of my job because I get to see all of the things that we've learned over the last year on the farms and in the plants and with the buyers. And we take all those lessons and challenges and we distill them into 2 days worth of panels and workshops and discussions, demonstrations where everybody in the supply chain can come together and find common ground and work out the kinks and the problems, The event is happening just south of Winston-Salem. We have Dr. Temple Grandin as our keynote speaker, who has a wonderful story and has revolutionized the way that people think about animal handling. And we're just very excited about it.
What's the future in North Carolina, do you think, for sustainable agriculture and marketing? I know that restaurants in many cases are now starting to realize that tail to snout is mm-hmm. a way to go. And then if you use the whole animal, first of all, it's a little more economical, but also their customers are ready for it.
Yeah, we find that the whole animal utilization is such an important part for the training we try to do with chefs and their understanding of the best way to work with Johnny is to add all the value to that animal. So most of the profit ends up on the farm and in that restaurant's kitchen. And consumers in North Carolina are very receptive to it. So you find this whole new creative art that's centered around using these farmers' products. And that's what we love to see.
Great stuff. Keep up the good work. Thank you so much for being on the program.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you.
Casey McKissick, coordinator for NC Choices, a project of the Center for Environmental Farming Systems. He's going to be at the conference. Johnny Rogers owns and operates Rogers Cattle Company in Roxboro, the North Carolina Meat Conference, December 3rd and 4th, going to be at Bermuda Run, North Carolina. That's an interesting point, too. I got about a second left, but it's not in Raleigh. You're taking it out where the farms are.
Bermuda Run is just south of Winston-Salem. It's right off Interstate 40. CarolinaMeatConference.com is the best one source for information.
That's how you find out more. Coming up after a short break, Lizard Lick Towing redefines North Carolina for the TV viewers. Stay with us on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill.